Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we research teen culture so you can focus on connection. I'm Caleb Hatchett, and I'm here with Carly Duke and Tobin Hodges. And this week, we're going to talk about some teen terms, kicking it off hot with terms that even I've never heard, and come to find out I'm the hip one and the young one of this podcast, so that's crazy. Then we're going to kind of get into cell phones, why teens don't respond to texts, cell phone boundaries, and how that interacts with school even. So we're in for a lot, but just to kick things off with the teen term that I had never heard, and I think I'm better for it, is the term DeLulu. So...
Carly, are you punking us?
It sounds fake. I'm not saying it's a cool word. I'm just saying I've seen it on TikTok, and anytime it comes across, I'm like, that is the dumbest way to shorten that word. Like, there's no reason to be like, he's DeLulu, or like, I know I'm DeLulu, but
right.
I hate that so much.
Who are out of the loop like me, DeLulu is basically a shorthand for delusional. I think in the research that I did, it mainly came out like through fandoms of like people thinking that they would marry these celebrities. And they're like, man, DeLulu, like people that think Taylor Swift will marry them are DeLulu. But now I think it's used for more than that.
Yes. But I do think that I think you're right, Caleb. You are exactly right. Because where I really started seeing this was when Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce started dating. And people would be like, I know I'm DeLulu, it's probably fake, but I love them together. Like, that's the kind of context that I hear that a lot of, like, I know I'm kind of crazy, or I know I'm delusional, and this is, but that's where I started seeing it. And they are, and if you're DeLulu, you probably, if you're using it, you are, so.
It's only one syllable shorter than the actual word. Like, I mean, what are we doing? Like, I know. That's like, there was like a Brooklyn Nine-Nine episode where they used the acronym BRB, and Captain Holt did not like compute that it was be right back. He's like, it's the same amount of syllables. What are we doing? And so, like, it's the same thing. Like it's only one less syllable. Like, it's not a short word. That's just you being extra.
At least Riz is two syllables shorter than Charisma. So,
yeah. Yeah.
They got that going for them.
Yeah.
The next one is
and Riz is cooler, clowning. Too. Let's just
Riz
be honest.
Is cooler. Riz is, yeah. We love Riz on the Teen Life Podcast. The next teen term is clowning. And in my mind, it makes sense how we got there. Because it's like, you know, you got like class clown, or like, you know, you're a clown. Similar to that. Like, you're clowning around, like being silly, weird. Usually in a funny context. Sometimes you could be clowning, or like just being a clown, like because you're, you know, you're too wacky. I don't know.
Basketball uses a lot. Like, he clowned him on the court, or like,
right.
You know, like, it's kind of like the newer version of like, you know, he broke his ankles kind of like, I see this a lot in basketball stuff. So,
And then the last one is out of pocket, which I didn't know could mean more than one thing, but in how it's used now and how I've always used it is like, when someone says or does something unexpected or maybe like inappropriate for the current context, like, man, that was out of pocket. It's usually sometimes if you're out of pocket in the right way, it's pretty funny. Like, even if it is inappropriate for the current context, it's pretty funny. That was out of pocket. But just usually something random, funny, it's out of pocket. But
yeah, we had to explain this to Caleb off air because he didn't understand that, like, when we use out of pocket, we mean like, I'm unavailable. I was out of pocket. I couldn't answer my phone. I was out of pocket. And I saw a TikTok about this where like a mom is pretending to talk to a teenager and she said something like that, like, hey, sorry, couldn't answer. I was out of pocket. And they're like, oh, what'd you say? Yeah. And she was like, I mean, I was working. I was out of pocket. And they're like, I know, but like, what'd you do? And she's like, what are you talking about? And they think she's saying like she did something crazy and that's why she was unavailable. Anyways, a funny miscommunication. But if you hear a teenager say out of pocket, they're like probably that. Not using it the way you are. It just is what it is.
Which means you're lame if you're the adult. You're the lame one in that situation, in their eyes. Fine. So,
And hearing Carly explain that to me made me feel very cool and young. So I had never heard the other way to say out of pocket. So,
but speaking of out of pocket, in the old terms, teens are often out of pocket when we're trying to text them. And this is a question that I've gotten or that adults have communicated to me, which is, why do teenagers never respond to text? And it is a fascinating question. I have asked this myself because you know it's in their hand always. You see them post on social media and you're like, hey, I know you have your phone. Why are you not answering? Why are you not texting back? Trying to get babysitters these days is tough, I'll be honest, because I will text four girls and hear back from one. It just kind of is what it is. And so I think this is worth, I want to talk about why teenagers might not respond, because I do think there are some valid reasons, but I do also think this is worth having a conversation with a teenager for yourself, maybe, if they're not responding. Yeah. But even like I gave the babysitter example, if your teenager is wanting to make money, even if they say no, that's okay. Like, but you need to respond. That's professional. Mm-hmm. When you get into the workforce, you can't just not respond to people. That doesn't go over as well. And so this is a skill that needs to start sooner. But for some context, your teenager is getting probably 10 times the amount of messages that you are in a day. And so when you're getting a text and you're like, that's not that hard to respond to, they are just like inundated with messages, notifications, text. And so that might be one reason they're not responding.
There's also a secret to that too. They also, a lot of them don't use iMessage for texting. And so like if you are sending them a message in iMessage, that means that you're the old one and they do all their messaging in like Snapchat and Instagram and other things. And so that's also plays into this too, that they're not checking their iMessages because all the quote unquote important conversations are happening elsewhere, like in Discord, Instagram, that kind of stuff.
Interesting. I'm super guilty of this, by the way. I'm just going to out myself. I got a new phone and I thought, you know, usually whenever you get a new phone, you have to like, it resets your messaging app. It didn't. And I was like kind of hoping it would, because I had 356 something unread messages.
Caleb Hatchett.
Texts. Yeah.
No way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like your phone had the badge notification that said 385 and you just were okay with that. That's sociopathic, Caleb. Oh my gosh.
Sorry. I do.
I'm speechless.
So I can speak personally to this, because apparently I'm finding out, man, I'm so young.
Emails is one thing, but text messages? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Sorry. I think for me, it's a lot of times, even on something that like I know I should respond to, a couple of reasons like is because I have my red receipts on. And so if it's something that I don't want to respond to, then like I don't want them to know that I've read it and not responded for a bit. And then I'll just forget about it. Or sometimes I will respond in my head if I'm like doing something like, okay, here's how I would respond. And then for whatever reason, my brain's like, okay, you've responded. And then it just sits there and like, I'm like, ugh, it's been like a week. I can't respond to this person now, you know? And so I don't know. I think there's a lot of too, of even a younger generation of less, there's less this expectation of responding to everything. And
I have so much anxiety right now. Like that's giving me so much anxiety. Like that is like crazy. I want to like hire myself to be your personal assistant for a week and just answer all your text messages.
I would love it. Like, I would love it. To be fair, I have it under control. I have one unread message now. So
yeah, let's went
through
that,
it,
please.
Sorted through it, and gotten better.
So, but I do think Caleb's right there, and I do this sometimes too, where I'll look at it, but I'm driving, or I'll look at it and then I get busy and I don't respond. That totally happens. And I get it. And teenagers do the same thing. But I will also say, like you said, Tobin, it might not be important to them. Like they're going to answer to the things that are important to them.
Yes.
And so that might be like a sobering thought of like, oh, I'm not on the important list. Mm-hmm. But it's true. They also probably don't think of it as being rude like we do. They're not looking at it the same way. Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you for being the spokesperson.
You're welcome. Teenagers out there, I'm speaking for you, even though I'm not teen anymore. Here we go.
Some also may have like text anxiety, like they don't know what to say, or they're like, I'm not sure how to respond right now, or if I respond too quickly, that looks weird. I know that sounds dumb, but kids do that too. And so they just won't say anything. And so maybe some tips on how to get them to respond. You might have to send a text a couple times. And no, I'm not being rude. I just will continue to text until you respond. And I had a friend that did this in college and it was so annoying, but also mm-hmm. funny. She would send, like, if I didn't immediately respond, one of my roommates would, I mean, send 50 messages like, hey, mm-mm. hi, are you there? Hello, where are you? But like each word was a different text and it was annoying, but it also was like, okay, I get you're trying to get my attention. And it kind of made me laugh instead of like being, she didn't like get mad. She chose to do it in a funny way. So I'm not saying you have to do that, but maybe as a parent, try to balance that of like, instead of.
You and I have different senses of humor because that would have made me block you immediately.
Well, I'm not saying you go that, but like, yeah. If they don't respond, send a funny GIF that's like question marks or like pointing up like, hello, like do something like that, that might mm-hmm. be, or they might chuckle and be like, oh yeah, I need to respond to that.
Yeah. Okay. So let me talk to the, so I've been through this as a parent. So I'm talking to the teens because I've had this conversation with my teen. If you were a teen and you struggle with this, or like, you may not even realize you're stuck with it, but just remind yourself that one, you are younger and your empathy, like, you know, the empathy in your brain has not fully developed yet. And so just remind yourself that, like, that's okay. But also know that, like, it's the right thing to do is to show people that, like, you're at least responding. And honestly, especially if you have an iPhone, they make it so easy for you now. You literally have to just tap it and do, like a tap back response. An example of this is when I was talking to, so our teenagers, I'm talking to you. When I was talking to my 14, almost 15-year-old, I found out one day that one of my best friends, sweet best friend, was sending him like a weekly like encouragement text, which we talked about before on the podcast, and it like literally like made my heart so happy. And then when I looked at the text and I saw that my lovely teenager, I could say a lot of more mean words, was just literally not responding to one of them because he didn't know what to say, because it's just, you know, it's awkward, whatever, for him. But one of the conversations I had with him was like, what are you telling that person who's taking their time out of their day to text you? Like, mm-hmm. you're telling them that they don't care, or that you don't care. And so a simple tap back heart, you know, thank you, LOL, whatever it may be, like, that's all it takes, is just remind yourself that you need to have the empathy of, if I was on the receiving end of this, how would it make me feel? Mm-hmm. And just reminding yourself that it doesn't take a second to do that. And if you do have anxiety about it, then like, that may be something else that might be deeper you have to work on. But like, especially if someone's taking their time to talk to you, like, just it just garners a response. Like, that's, even if it's simple, like,
yeah,
just even if it's a week later, Caleb, just like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't get to this. And I know adults like that too. Like, I have adults that I'll text and they'll text me like literally a week later, and I'm like, what in the world were you doing for a week, you know? And so, but yeah, it's a real thing.
No, and I get it. I think too, there's this pressure of, okay, I need to respond, right? And it's, I don't know, some apparently, or especially for some people or some texts, you're like, man, it's almost like another to-do thing on top of everything else you have to do. And I think just kind of almost taking the pressure out of it has been helpful, right? Of like, man, it's just like, it's just a text, right? And like you said, iPhone makes it so easy, even if you don't have anything to say. And I know, because sometimes I'm in my head about it, like, okay, I feel like I can't just like a message, because that's almost worse than not responding. But for some people, like, it's like, okay, at least they've seen it, right? Yeah. And so even if you're like, man, I'm not continuing a conversation, just liking or hearting a text can go a long way. But, you know, to adults out there, I think, you know, it's okay to have patience, but it's also okay, like Carly said, to make sure, like, hey, like, hey, I'm still here, right? Or like, hey, being able to differentiate between, is this text that I'm sending important? Yeah. Should I follow up, or is it like, okay, they haven't seen it? So I think there's a balance to both. But like they said off the top too, whenever you do get in the workforce as an adult, things like that, where you have to respond to texts almost as important as some work emails, mm-hmm. it's important to respond and keep those relationships healthy and make sure that the people that you're texting and know that they are valued, even with your time to take, you know, mm-hmm. the 5 seconds it takes to text back. So I see. I'm on both sides, even though I have 300 unread messages. So,
well, and I'll say, if you're a parent and you are frustrated that your teen isn't responding, have them turn on read receipts just for you. You can turn them on for specific people. Like, mine are only on for Josh, so he knows I've at least seen a message. And that way you can tell, like, you're not badgering them. And we'll talk about this in a second when we get into cell phone boundaries, but maybe they're at school and they haven't even seen your message and you're like, hey, I need an answer. I need an answer. I need an answer. And they don't have their phone on them. Right. And so that might be helpful if you know, like, okay, they read it and they didn't respond, so I need an answer. And if you really need them, if you need an answer to something, call them. That's an easy thing to do. And if they're like me and they hate phone calls, they'll probably start responding to texts if you start calling them every time.
Yeah, that's true.
But then, Tobin, you showed me this. Mm-hmm. I had never known this. On iPhones, that if you like tap and hold on an iMessage, it'll pull it up where you can read the message, but it won't read it.
That's why I have 300 unread messages, is because I'm doing that.
Well, because normal people see that red number, Caleb, and it makes them stress out until they get rid of it. So that's how you keep the notification. So yeah.
But then I became a monster.
Oh my gosh. Well, and iMessage now have where you can read something and then still mark it as, you can go back and mark it as unread if you swipe to the right.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
Swipe one of the ways and it'll, can.
Or to the right, yes. From the left to the right.
Yes, from left to right. All the things. If you do that, it'll mark it as unread. So you can show them like, hey, if you can't answer right now, or in my babysitting context, maybe you're like, hey, I need to check with my parents to make sure I'm free, or I need to check on my schedule, but you don't respond right then, mark it as unread so you'll remember to come back to that conversation, unless you're like Caleb, and then they just get buried in the 300 unread notifications.
And that's more about Caleb than it is you, so.
It's true. But I will say, from firsthand experience, right, the more that stresses you out, which is fair, right, because it's another thing to do, like, you have to get, that's a skill that you kind of need to develop, right, you know, being able to at least even say no if you can't do it. And I think there's a lot of fear of, well, they're going to think less of me. Well, if you can't do it, you can't do it. And so being able to respond is just a great skill to have. And a skill, okay, full honesty, I'm still trying to develop myself.
Sure.
So you're not alone.
Well, so that is a conversation that I'm sure brings up a lot of emotions from both sides. But let's talk about cell phone boundaries, which is another thing that it kind of can be a argument or just like a heavy discussion. But schools lately have been doing a lot of like prohibiting non-academic use of cell phones. Like it says right here that 76.9% of schools prohibited non-academic use of cell phones or smartphones during school hours during the 2019-2020 school year. Most schools now are like prohibiting cell phones to eliminate, they say to eliminate distractions, but also to help students' mental health by reducing stress and anxiety, the source of it. There's all kinds of opinions on that kind of stuff. We're not here to necessarily hash those out and be, you know, somebody that stands on one corner or the other. But this is a real thing. This is like, it's like whether your school district or you care about it, or whether you agree with it or not, this is maybe something that either has happened or is coming down the pipe for you guys. But we're just talking about, like, what does this look like? So if you're a teacher or you have a student, like a teen in school, or you are a teen in school, it could look like we're putting our phones at the front of the room. Like I had a teacher that I worked with, because I'm so old, I did not have cell phones in school. But I had a teacher that I worked with that whenever they had at their whiteboard, they had like 20 slots at their whiteboard where everybody had a number, a assigned number, and they put their phone there. So that way they knew, like, you know, my phone goes to one, my phone goes to two. And that was where their phone stayed. And if they needed it for anything, then they could go up there at the whiteboard and use it. But that's where it was very obvious that when they were using it, for whatever reason, if it was productive or not, they were at the whiteboard. A lot of schools are asking kids to keep their phones in lockers. Like, that's what happens in my son's school. I will tell you, as a educator, former educator, that is not happening. They don't keep their in their locker, ever. Mm-hmm. Like, most kids don't even use their locker. And so the schools that are saying that don't really probably realize that that's not actually happening, but that's definitely something that they're saying. But a lot of teachers and stuff will like, you just need to set a norm at the beginning of the year and make sure that it's something that you can enforce. Like I always told my colleagues and stuff too, that you just kind of have to remind yourself that, are you trying to fight like there's a scene in Game of Thrones where, like, what's his name, Jon Snow is like, has a sword out and like the massive horde of people coming at him. Really good scene. But are you trying to be that teacher where you're trying to fight a losing battle, or are you going to steer into the skid a little bit? Like, remind yourself, like, what fights am I willing to fight? And like, what, I mean, some of them may be out of your control, but also, like, you know, I had colleagues that I was just like, why are you taking up every phone that you see? Like, if it's a consistent thing, then knock yourself out. But like, it's just, you have to remind yourself that, is this a fight that I can fight, first of all, and do my job well? Or is it a fight that I have to fight necessarily. And so and that goes for parents too.
Well, I do want to say before we move on fully to parents, because this connects the two, I do think it's worth mentioning that the school prohibiting cell phones makes parents mad.
That's true. Yeah.
Typically. And so as school staff, you know that I'm not, hear me say, I'm not saying that that means that you don't need to do what's best for your students in your classroom, but I am hearing parents are pretty upset that they do not have unlimited access to their students. So if they need to get in touch with them, or I know in the back of a lot of parents' heads, it's what if there's an emergency and my student doesn't have their phone and so they can't contact me and let me know. And I know school, when I was like looking into this, I'll post some articles and stuff about what other schools are doing. But like, I know some schools say, call the office at any time if you need to reach your student. But that is also adding something on the school. And so there's a lot of nuances. Schools handle it different ways. But it's something worth noting that that is kind of a place of friction between parents and schools.
Yeah. And it just, you know, also, if you're a parent and you're upset about that, advocate for your student. Like, you know, you can go to school board meetings, you can go to the principals and stuff. I will tell you, like, I lean more towards the, like, let the students kind of have their freedom with it to an extent, for that reason. Cause like, it's like, we go to a lot of schools at Teen Life, and one of the things that you see when you go to schools is the chaos that ensues with the person at the front door. And the last thing they need is with more people calling them saying, where's my child? And so, in my opinion, having their cell phones on them and in the, at least in the social passing periods and stuff like that is a way to alleviate some of that. But let's talk more about at home. First of all, there's no judgment here if you are doing something differently or if you have stricter or more loose rules on cell phone stuff. And like me as a parent, there are things that I wish I would have done differently in the past. And now it's kind of like the cat's out of the bag. So I can't really, you know, necessarily yank some of it back, but, you know, there is no judgment. So like, if you are like a overly strict phone person, great. Like if that's what works for you, that's awesome. This is more about what works for you and your family, but these are just some ideas in case you're trying to figure out what works best for you. So just do what's best for you and your family. Like you have to model good boundaries yourself, which is not great. Like I am so bad at this. Like, don't ask them to do something that you wouldn't do. And like, it's tough. Have been called out multiple times by my teenager. Like one of the ones that this is a little bit different, but like, was like, my wife's real big on no cell phones at the dining table. And so I'm always like, yeah, don't do that, teenager. And then next thing you know, I'm like scrolling, you know, Instagram or Twitter or whatever at the table. I'm like, oh man. And so and then I get called out for it. So yeah, I mean, like, you need to make sure you model the good behavior. And you know, like that's really hard because like there's a lot of times when we as adults just want to sit down and just, you know, veg out on scrolling. And if we're getting mad at our students for doing that, our teens for doing that, we have to kind of remind ourselves that.
Well, and driving with cell phones is a big one for that too. Like I already have anxiety about that of when my kids drive, if they're looking at their phone, but I'm bad at it too. Even if I tell myself I'm only going to do it at stoplights, there are times where I'm going to text and I'm looking at my phone. And so, but that starts with you. You can't tell your teen you can't drive and be on your phone, and then every time they're in the car with you, you're doing the same. So that's a hard pill to swallow. But
maybe the time Sawyer's driving will have self-driving cars. You don't have to worry about it. That's kind of
fair.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, mine is starting that journey, and I'm already stressed about that. So, you know, and then, like, look into like the research on cell phones and having constant access to it. Like I haven't, I know that none of y'all, neither one of y'all have had to deal with this, but my son has been pretty, he has not started the social media stuff yet and hasn't really wanted to. And so like, I haven't really had to quite cross that bridge yet, but, we definitely deal with some addictive behavior with him, on like, games and YouTube reels and stuff like that. And so, just looking like research, like how to like limit that kind of stuff and like how to like what it means when they have constant access.
Yeah.
Consider a phone contract. We've talked a lot about those phone contracts that lay out the rules of what you want from them. That is something that I wish I would have done from day one and I did not do. I've kind of like haphazardly done that as I've gone on, but I did not do that from day one. I think I said it before, but we were kind of thrust into that situation because of COVID. My son had to stay home from school and we don't have a, you know, we're not 70 years old, so we don't have a landline. So he had to have a cell phone. So, and so that it kind of like was rushed into that for us, but that's something I wish I would have done differently. I'm not really saying these are good examples, but like I've seen some people have a rule where like they can't take their phones out of the living room, or like they can't take it to their bedroom, or when they had to charge their phone, they have to charge it in a family space and not in their room, just because it's at night and you don't need your phone at that certain point. My rule in my house is that when I ask to look at your phone, like you have to pass it over like immediately. And if you don't pass it over immediately, if you don't pass it over immediately, I'm going to immediately assume you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing, you know? And so far that hasn't been an issue in my house, but that's also like, you know, like you're not allowed to create passwords that I don't know. And like, I'm not trying to invade your privacy. I'm trying to protect you. Like, I'm not going to sit here and read through all your drama. Like, kind of remind them that you're not there to find their drama, but you're also there to make sure that they're being safe. And that's, that's your job as a parent to do. And then obviously there's a lot of monitoring apps and softwares out there. We talked about Bark a few episodes ago. Bark's a pretty good one. Like Life 360 is a big one up for a lot of people, but just monitoring apps.
And that's iPhone not for itself, everyone.
Yeah. But iPhone itself has a lot of boundaries too. I know that you can set up time limits on certain things, or even shut down, you know, your kids' access to certain apps past a certain time, so they can still have their phone and charge it for like, you know, because the common argument is, well, how do I wake up? Because alarm clocks aren't a thing anymore. So a lot of students, and I myself, uses their phone to wake up, but you can, you know, shut that down. I know our children's minister will get texts from her daughter and be like, hey, can I get 15 more minutes on Instagram? And then you can go in and give them 15 more minutes. But I think too, you know, it is easier to start from a place of more restrictions and then ease up on restrictions than try to reel back and have restrictions when there weren't any before. So
it's better to be proactive than reactive in these situations, because if you're reactive, that means that some sort of bad thing has already started and you have to try to fix that habit. Another thing too, go ahead, Carly.
Well, that's where a contract might be helpful. If you're sitting there going like, man, we've got way off the rails, sitting down and not going like back to square one, but being like, okay, let's talk through some things. Here's what we're seeing. Let's agree. And why don't you help me come up with some boundaries? We'll write them down. And then you both know what to expect. Because I also think it's hard. Like, you can't always get mad at a teenager if it's not an expectation you set before.
Yes. Yeah.
And so having that conversation ahead of time. And if you're like, hey, we need to reset for me and you, and maybe it's a, here are your boundaries and here are some for me of, like you were saying, Tobin, maybe it's no cell phones at the table and I'm also signing this. And if you see me breaking that, then you can call me out and be like, hey, remember we agreed on this. And sometimes that's helpful.
Hey, and last thing before we close this out today, if you're a teen listening to this, we've talked a lot about empathy before, and this is another one of those situations of just remind yourself that it's okay to advocate for yourself respectfully, and remind yourself that most of you, if you're a teenager listening and have a parent, most of your parents did not grow up with cell phones, and they're learning just like you're learning on how to deal with this as a parent. And when we got cell phones, we were adults and didn't have somebody checking us. And so there's a lot of things, a lot of habits that I have on a cell phone that I wish I didn't have. And it's because I didn't have a cell phone until I was an adult. And so just remind yourself that like your parents are learning just as much as you are with this stuff, and that you are in a weird generation of your parents are kind of like the trailblazers of how to parent students through cell phones. And you're a trailblazer of, you're the first teens that have parents that have to deal with that. So, so just remind yourself that, and just it's okay to advocate for yourself, but also know that we're only trying to help you. That's it. Most of the time, I'm sure there's some parents that aren't, but you know, most of the time we're just trying to help you, but sometimes we're wrong too. And so just, you know, advocate for yourself, but also remind yourself that your parents are learning just as much as you are.
And I just think this is a great conversation to be having with your teenagers, whether you're a parent or doing a group or a classroom with them, of like, hey, like we said, upfront, let's set some norms so that everyone's on the same page. But that's a wrap for this episode. We hope you enjoyed everything we're talking about. And I hope that it leads to great conversations with a teen in your life. And if there's pieces you want to share with them, we're going to start posting some more videos on TikTok, especially maybe pieces to teenagers. And they might see it. Or if you're looking and like, hey, this is a piece that I'd really want that teen to hear, share that with them as well. But make sure you're subscribing on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. But as always, remember, teenagers are not a problem to be solved.